everybody. I'm here live exclusively on Facebook. Why? Because YouTube hates Christians. My channel is on lockdown right now, and I'm unable to upload until Wednesday. But when Wednesday comes, the archived edition of this podcast will be uploaded to youtube.com/BenTheBaptist. But until then, I'm live here on the Facebook page associated with that YouTube channel. It's Ben the Baptist KJV. If you haven't done so already, make sure you hit the like button over there on the page. Facebook.com/BenTheBaptistKJV is the place to go to do that. But this is Brother Ben here, and I'm joined by Brother Guzman from the YouTube channel, Guzman1611. Now, I want to preface by saying this. The world has its, quote, iconic young people that it looks up to. An example would be that weirdo, Greta Thunberg, who delivered that speech at the United Nations about the climate change fraud. Well, she's upheld by the fake media, and she's looked at as this hero by the world. Well, you know what? The Christian community also has some pretty smart young people, and one of them is the gentleman joining me tonight, Guzman1611. You guys should all check out his YouTube channel. We'll be plugging it frequently throughout the live stream. But right now, let me introduce him to you all for the first time coming onto the show tonight. Guzman, thank you for being my special guest this evening. It's good to get this opportunity to chat with you and give the audience a chance to get to know you a little better. How you doing tonight?
Hey, first, I'd like to say thanks so much, Ben, for having me on. I wanted to thank everybody who has helped grow my channel. First, I'd like to say, you know, I'm doing well, and I really appreciate this opportunity to be on the show. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, no problem at all. And like I said, the world would promote young people like Greta Thunberg, who believes in feminism and climate change and Black Lives Matter and all this other garbage. It's time for the Christian community to start churning out some young people in opposition to all that, who believe in righteousness, who believe in the truth, who love God, who love God's word. And, you know, the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. So it doesn't matter how old you are. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you're willing to put out content to try and turn many to righteousness and help expose the lies out there and promote the truth, to me, that's a positive. And so I've always been an admirer of some of the things you do. Let's start off by just giving people a chance to get to know you a little bit in the sense of who you are as a person. When did you get saved? Talk about your salvation testimony here to start off this live stream.
Sure, Ben. So first off, I'm Jonathan Guzman. I'm 14. I host the channel Guzman1611. So my testimony. First off, I owe a lot of the credit to my parents because they took me to church. Probably not like the best churches in the world. Like they were like these mega churches and whatnot. But we grew out of it, and we and thank God we found the truth and everything. So I had a Christian upbringing my whole life. You know, my parents are Christians. We went to church. But I really, really, really liked science. I that was just something that I was really espoused to, if you will. I would, like, when I was in public school, we would go to the library at the public school, and I would always come back with a backpack full of books about science, like dinosaurs or sometimes about history and whatnot. Some of the public libraries, and I would, you know, get some of the books there as well. I just really loved studying my whole life. I always wanted to find out the truth. And I was really into writing as well. So one day I was writing this book about dinosaurs, and I said something along the lines like, dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago. due to an asteroid or a meteor, right? An impact from a meteor. But if the Bible is true, then Noah's flood killed the dinosaurs off. And so, I put that if, yea hath God said, So my mom just looked at the book, and I showed it to my mom, and she looked at it, and she said, "What do you mean if? Like, you don't believe that the Bible is true?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't want to offend my peers, I don't want to offend my friends." And I say, excuse me, she says, "Well, this right here that you have written here 65 million years ago, that goes against the Bible." She didn't tell me it was false. She just told me, it went against the Bible. And I had known that for a long time. I had known that the early chapters of Genesis contradicted what the Bible says. So whenever I would go to church, somebody would ask me, "When did the dinosaurs live?" And I say, "Well, Adam and Eve, lived together with the dinosaurs and everything." But if I was at school or something, and in science, I would say, "Well, no human being had ever seen a dinosaur." So I had always known that there was some sort of contradiction there. And then after my mom told me that, I just really dove in, and I kept on studying to the point that I am now. And I don't think there's any possible way or any evidence to suggest that the Bible is wrong, or that, scripture is wrong, or that the creation is wrong and creationism is wrong. So, yeah,
Well, one of my
that's sort of
favorite,
my testimony.
let me just say this real quick. One of my favorite portions of scripture that would deal with this is in Job chapter 40, verse 15, where it says, "Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly." And it goes on, it talks about how his tail is like that of a cedar, which I think is clearly representative of a dinosaur. So the Bible does talk about this, and it is the subject of some of the content you've put out recently. But in terms of when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, do you have any memories of that, the gospel being presented to you and getting saved? Who got you saved?
Sure. Well, my memory is very vague about it, but I do remember my mom telling me about Jesus. We had like a crucifix there. I mean, we weren't Catholics, but we had like a right gospel and everything. And she told me, "Well, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He went to hell for 3 days and 3 nights. He rose again, and all you need to do is believe, and you'll be saved forever." And she just went through the gospel just very briefly, So at that point, she led me into a word of prayer, and I guess I mean I think I got saved at that point, because if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, you're saved, right? So
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's when I got saved. And then when I was like 9 or 10, I first found out about Pastor Anderson through After the Tribulation. So yeah, that's sort of like how I got saved.
Very cool. And after you found out about Pastor Anderson, I'm sure you got plugged in, probably got on fire for the Lord, and here you are now with a YouTube channel. Talk about what led to your decision to start your own channel and start putting out your own content?
Well, first off, the channel was never like, I never thought that my channel was gonna get, huge. Quite frankly, I just, I was just putting videos out there, and I mean, I was just like, it was sort of, to me, a channel was just basically like charting your, like, what you learn. So I would like sit down, I would listen to a sermon, or I would read the Bible, and then I would like, create some notes, and then create a video to just basically have like a video to go back to, like what you studied before, right? So that was mainly what it was. But then it started growing after that, not too much. The first channel, I started another one in 2017, and in 2017, I started making some more videos. I started getting more views, about 100 views after a couple months. And then, right now my average viewership is like about 150, 200, something like that. Not too big, but still good.
Yeah, if you could
So,
reach one person, frankly, even though
amen,
that
right.
seems like a low bar, then I think you're doing something good. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And here's the thing, Guzman. There are a lot of kids in their early teenage years and younger who are friends with the world. And what I mean by that is they don't care about the things of God at all. They don't care about church. They don't care about the Bible or theology or creation or some of the things you're interested in. Instead, they just care about sitting around and playing video games all day. They just care about sitting around picking their nose, watching television, and regurgitating all these factoids about their favorite TV show or their favorite movie and wasting their time. It seems like the youth in America, it's almost like they're, a lot of them, because of the influence of their families and their parents, are just completely brain dead and just plugged into entertainment, plugged into the TV, plugged into Hollywood. What have you noticed about that in terms of people in your age bracket? Do you think it's getting better? Are there more people that are in their early teens that are starting to wake up? Or are you kind of the lone voice here? I mean, what do you think about your generation, the younger generation? Is there hope for the younger generation? That's my question, Guzman.
Yeah, that's definitely a great question. Back when I was still in public school, there was obviously a lot of Christian kids in my class. I think like there were about 10 Christian kids. The class is made up of like some 20, 25 kids,
Right.
and like 10 of them are Christians. That would include me. And back then I wasn't as I would like listen to preachers preach the Bible, and I would like I when we would go to church, I would open my Bible and read it along with the preacher or whoever, so I think I always had like a passion for God that was later rediscovered later in my life. My how long can as but so is there hope for this generation, for my generation? I think there is. I haven't, like, for example, I would, being younger, it's easier to interact with kids in my age group because, you bring up some, if you're smart, you're cool, At least it used to be like that. But if you're smart, you're cool, right? You're a nerd at that point, or if you have friends, you're a geek, I talk to like these young kids and 10 to 15 years old, and I'm like, and I'm showing them the Bible. And one of them, I was actually at an ice cream store one time, and I was presenting the very suitable place to share the gospel, huh?
Oh
An
yeah,
ice cream store.
absolutely.
So I was sharing the gospel with this one 10-year-old boy and his sister, and I was showing him the Bible, and I was showing him the Romans Road and everything. And after I was done and we prayed and everything, and he looked at me and he said, "I learned more just now than I ever have in school." He looked at me right in the face and he said, "I learned more than just now than I ever had in school."
Yeah.
And I say praise God, because there's still a chance, and especially when you're talking to people who who have already a religious upbringing, people who are Catholics and everything, it's easier at that point. If you're talking to people who grow up in non-religious homes, it's harder. But generally, there's just a lot of hope in the young people, and there's a lot of kids, very few though, but still a lot of kids who are interested in science and everything. And if they get saved, and they get interested in what, creationism and everything, I think they'd be a very good team as well. So
Yeah.
yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of hope.
Well, that's good news. And you know what? I do think that as well, because at the end of the day, there's always going to be a righteous remnant. And that's true even for that next generation you talked about. But it's also the responsibility of the adults of this current generation right now to
Right.
ensure that these young people are being instilled with good godly values. And the Bible puts that responsibility on the parents. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." So it says in verse number 7 that they should teach them diligently unto their children, the children of Israel here, commanded to do so in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And to me, that's sort of a lost culture in the West specifically, is parents taking responsibility for the values of their children. Instead, they just stick them in front of a television set and allow that to warp their mind rather than having family Bible time and teaching them good, conservative, traditional, godly values. And it's unfortunate. That is the majority. But like I said, there's always a remnant. And I think it's that remnant that will help take the torch from this current generation of new IFB personalities, if you will, and continue and propagate the message forward. But again, it's up to the parents. It's not going to come from the public school system. I've been in the public school system myself, Guzman, and I can tell you from experience, it's really, really, really bad. Even back when I was
Right.
there, I guarantee it's probably a lot worse today. Kids saying all kinds of filth and smut and deviancy, and it's really, really, really bad. They're being instilled with anti-God values, and I think it's the education system, the public school system, that's one of the main catalysts for the wrong direction this country is going down. It starts in elementary, it starts in kindergarten, and it continues all the way. I mean, think about these freaks. They put these freaks in front of the kids at Drag Queen Story Hour at the public
Yeah.
library. So it starts at the young age. The indoctrination starts at the young age, and it continues all the way through post-secondary education, through the colleges and universities across the country that are just pounding socialism and leftism and Marxism into the brains of young, impressionable minds who are going there thinking they're getting a quality education, when instead they're learning about microaggressions and PC culture and a bunch of nonsense. How do we turn the tide
Right.
against all that? It starts at the local New Testament church, and it also starts with individual families saying, "Enough is enough. We're not going to take this crap anymore. We're going to educate our children, and we're going to make sure that they learn what the Bible says about certain issues so they can formulate a godly worldview rather than a worldview that emanates from wicked people, right? Who want nothing to
Right.
do with the Word of God." So that's just my little rant there, Guzman. But I think when people see a young person such as yourself, who's a soul winner, who goes to church, who loves the Lord, that can serve as motivation for other young people to say, "Hey, I could be like that person." You know, the Bible talks about provoking one another unto love and good works. And we all have that role to play, whether it's you or me. We all have that role to play in our lives as being a positive example, an ambassador for Christ, so that we can provoke other people. And you know what? I think you and I probably share the same goal with our channels, in the sense that you have a channel in which you want to use it as a platform to propagate the truth and help people get on fire for the Lord. I can say that's the same for my channel, for this podcast. That's my goal as well. So.
Amen. Yeah, back to the whole indoctrination thing. You know, atheists will always say to you, like, "Oh man, you were indoctrinated as a kid. You know, you only believe what your parents told you because, you know, you're a religious bumpkin and everything. You don't have any evidence for your faith." Unravel that in that rant. There, it can all be summarized in one response. If I'm indoctrinated, what evidence do you have to say that I was? How do you know that I was indoctrinated? And you say, well, you were indoctrinated because you were told a worldview. You were told something that you weren't able to think about objectively. And I say, well, isn't that the exact same thing at the public school system?
Great point.
You're saying that I'm being indoctrinated by my parents, who are Christians, believe the Bible, and they want me to believe the Bible and everything. But yet, somehow it's not indoctrination when you take your kids to school and they teach them socialism. They teach them
evolution.
About evolution. Yeah. And then they say, well, you're nothing more than an animal. And then people always wonder why they act like animals.
Yeah. Why do we have mass shootings and random acts of violence that occur when you tell kids your age, you're nothing more than an animal, your brain... the behavior of your brain, your thoughts constitute nothing more than fizz that randomly occurs, and you fall into the same category as a horse, a pig, a dog. You're an animal just like them, who evolved over billions of years through a process that took billions of years and started with a single-celled organism, which you are biologically related to. That's preposterous. That's nonsense, and it only aids in the degrading culture we have going on right now, and it also aids in the devaluation of life that we're seeing today, not just through evolution, but abortion and things of that nature. You combine that with the violent video games and the violent entertainment and movies and TV shows that people consume, and the question of why do we see mass shootings and violent crime is a stupid one, because it should be obvious.
Exactly. And then you wonder why people get depressed. First of all, you're telling them that there's no creator. There's no creator God. So how can you know that anything's real? How can you know that your brain is not just a simulation? How can you know that your brain is not just in a jar, and all the experiences that you experience in this world, they're just electrical and chemical impulses being done to your brain in an experiment and in a lab? How can you know that that's not true if there's no God?
Exactly.
And then people get depressed, and we're wondering why so many people are on antidepressants nowadays.
Right.
Well, if there's no God, how do I know that I'm real? How do I know that Ben's real? How do I know that everyone watching here is real? Because I can't empirically look at the world without God. Science is based upon the fact that you can test, see, and observe, and know things. Science means to know.
Yes.
So, how can you know if you can't even know that your senses are reliable? Does that make sense? How can you know anything if your senses are not reliable, if you don't know that your senses are reliable? The fact that atheists look both ways before they cross the street is evidence that God exists. Because they're trusting in their senses that were God-given, that they have no evidence to suggest that they're accurate. You see what I'm saying there?
Yeah, and the thing is as well, this is what leads the atheist to give up all knowledge, in the sense that they would make the claim, well, no one can truly know anything for sure, which in and of itself is a contradictory statement. Because if it's impossible to know everything for sure, that statement itself is a knowledge claim that you just claimed is impossible, according to your stupid garbage logic. So, yeah, it is self-defeating. It is a contradiction, which I think also, Guzman, is why it's so easy to make them look foolish, which you've done. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Your interaction, your debate with Godless Engineer, I wanted to get your reaction to that. In the discussion you had with him, just to get your own feedback on how that went. But before we do, I want to remind the audience, if you're just tuning in tonight, that yes, the show on this July 20th, 2020, is appearing exclusively on the Facebook page. If you've just tuned in and you're wondering why you couldn't find the live stream on my YouTube channel, it's because I received a strike for a video that was uploaded years ago on Islamic migration into Europe. And so for that reason, I couldn't upload anything until this upcoming Wednesday. So on this Wednesday, as soon as that clock strikes midnight, the channel will be back and I'll upload the archived edition of this podcast. So that's why it's available only on the Facebook page. But if you haven't done so already, I just want to plug this one more time. Make sure you like the page, facebook.com/BenTheBaptistKJV, so you can stay updated on everything that's going on with the channel. Well, Guzman, let me ask you this question next. Obviously, you've tackled several different subjects on your channel, but is there one particular subject or doctrine that you would say you're most passionate about? What gets you most excited? What gets you most fired up?
That's a hard question. It's like asking what's your favorite false doctrine?
Your favorite false doctrine to rip on, I
Yeah,
assume is what you
exactly.
meant. Yeah,
Yeah.
go ahead.
Yeah. So what's my favorite like doctrine to cover on my channel? I have a lot of doctrines. I just really I like to cover the just like a whole religion in a whole, you know. I like to cover just like false areas of Christianity, namely the Catholic Church, which is why, you know, I'm pretty sure we'll get to this later, but which is why I'm doing a documentary on the Catholic Church because that's
Right.
something that I'm passionate about. So one of my, you know, favorite doctrines to talk about on my channel is let me think about that. But I think that once saved, always saved
That's
can
a great
be.
one to pick. Eternal security,
I
necessary for
yeah
salvation.
I think that would be like my favorite one because it's just so important.
Right.
Now as far as false doctrines, I like to talk about let's see. Let's talk about infant baptism. I like to, you know, I haven't covered it much on my channel lately,
But you like to debunk
because of
it.
the fact, yeah, I just like talking
Yeah, well,
about
it's
it.
found
What,
nowhere in scripture,
yeah.
and a lot of these Catholics teach that the baby has to get baptized in order for it to go to heaven, which is completely preposterous. The Bible's very clear that babies go to heaven when they die.
Right.
Let me say this, for those of you watching on Facebook at facebook.com/BenTheBaptistKJV, if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to Guzman1611. Let's support this channel. Let's support Guzman in his efforts to help wake people up. Let's support him in his efforts to inject YouTube with some good content rather than all the garbage. You see that Pastor McMurtry was on his channel 3 months ago. He's had discussions, he's had debates, and we'll talk about this one with Godless Engineer here in a moment. I do also want to let you guys know if you're tuning in live to stay tuned to the end. I do have a special announcement coming up about next week's podcast at the end of the live stream. So if you're tuned in live, don't quit. Okay, wait until the end. Stay tuned until the end because I do have a special announcement about next week's show. Guzman, I want to ask you next about, well, let's just get into it. Your discussion with Godless Engineer. What was it like to dialogue with this guy? I'm not too familiar with him. I know he's done a few videos against me. I've never responded back to him. But I know that Matt Powell is familiar with him and has kind of gone back and forth with him a little bit. And you directly, communicated with him. You had your discussion, you had your debate, whatever you want to call it. Talk about some of the subjects you covered and what it was like to take part in that.
Well, first of all, Godless Engineer is not a scientist by any means. I'm pretty sure that's
I figured.
self-explanatory in the discussion. Yeah. Neither am I. So it was just two laymen talking about the issues. I think that our discussion was very not beneficial, to be honest, because most of the discussion was just me explaining to him was. Like, I brought up like 10 different lines of evidence. Most of it was based in paleontology and geology. And most of the discussion was just based on like me just explaining to him what happened
Right.
or what this specific discovery was. I'm not sure if you watched the whole thing, but when we got to the discussion portion, we were talking about the Howey Quarry. I had to explain to him what it was and everything because, you know. And I also had to explain to him what death pits are because obviously he doesn't know what those are. So it's interesting too because he never gave a response to any of the arguments. He would just say, "Well, here's what I think." You know, I'm giving to him what the paleontologists think. For example, the Howey Quarry, Howe Quarry. Most paleontologists agree that that was caused by a flood. If anyone wants a source on that, Dr. Steve Rusatsi's book, "The Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs," covers just very briefly about the Howey Quarry. It was very obviously the remnants of a flood. Now people will say, "Well, it wasn't a Noaic flood. It wasn't a global flood." And I would ask, "Well, what kind of flood would just bury a Barosaurus, Diplodocus?" Yeah, that's the book. Barosaurus, Diplodocus, Allosaurus, Camptosaurus, all together. Why would there be predator and prey found together? By the way, just a disclaimer, Dr. Steve Rusatsi, he's not a creationist. He's an agnostic, so he has no bias, and even if he did, it would be against creationism. So yeah, I think that the debate wasn't very beneficial on his part because I mean he just didn't understand anything as far as paleontology and
Well,
everything.
the fool has said in his heart there is no God, so that explains that aspect, right?
Right, yeah. And his only evidence against, you know, what I had to say is that, well, there's not enough water to cover the earth. If anyone wants to see a full response to that, go to my channel. It's called Why Godless Engineers Wrong About Noah's Flood. But basically, here's a brief summary of what that video talks about. Yeah, sure. There's not enough water to cover the earth right now because there are super high mountains right now. There are not super high mountains before the flood. I mean, the Bible says that every high hill was covered, but high is relative, you know? Relative to what? You know, every high hill. It's sort of, you know, the Bible isn't explaining to us step by step what happened. I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, but it's pretty vague about what happened. Because the Bible's focus isn't about Noah's flood. Neither is it about science or creationism. It's about the gospel. And the reason why the flood is so important is because first of all, how do you say it? It's a foreshadowing of baptism, if you will. It's a figure of baptism, you know, the whole world was baptized in water, if you will, right?
Right.
Just like how you're supposed to be baptized. And then the Bible also tells us that the whole world is going to be destroyed with fire. So there's your baptism with fire, just like Jesus talked about in John chapter 3. So I think that Noah's flood is a very important topic. The topic of the debate with me and Godless was, did dinosaurs live recently? And he had absolutely no proof to say that they did. Other than radiometric dating, which we can talk about in a minute, and the serious flaws about that, because there are serious flaws in radiometric dating. It's just ridiculous. So, yeah, I don't think it was too beneficial,
Well, what
to
are
be
some of
honest.
those flaws? Because a lot of the time people would point to radiometric dating to try and prove the billions of years scientific quote theory and disprove what the Bible says about the age of the earth. What are some of the problems you think there are with radiometric dating in particular? And it looks like I might have lost them. Are you there? Guzman, why you bailing on me, bro? I'm just kidding. I'm sure your internet went out. All right, folks. Well, it's live podcast, radio, whatever you want to call it. And so technical difficulties do happen. Guzman, unfortunately, has been ejected by his internet. And so we're going to have to wait to see if he can get back on there. Hopefully he will. And we'll continue on with the stream. But irrespective of that, I mean, I've heard a lot of different people talk about the inconsistencies with respect to radiometric dating. It's not an area I've studied too much, to be honest with you, but it's not very accurate, evidently, and there are a lot of problems with it. So now it's time for me to stall for time until he can get back. But anyway,
oops.
You see, it looks like he's back. Guzman, I'll go back to you in a minute, but I just want to say thanks to everybody watching in the Facebook live stream. Folks, again, if this is your first time tuning in, if you're tuning in now, the channel is in lockdown because of a strike, but it'll be back this upcoming Wednesday. So, Guzman, I asked about radiometric dating. Are there just a few talking points you have on that that would sort of debunk this method of aging the Earth? Because it's something that a lot of atheists and evolutionists constantly point to.
Sure. Well, first of all, there are many different forms of radiometric dating. There's carbon-14 dating. There's potassium-argon dating. There's uranium-strontium dating. There's several different dating methods. Carbon-14 is probably the most flawed of all of them. And to this day, most geologists will not accept carbon-14 dating as a reliable source. In fact, no geologist accepts radiometric dating as a reliable way to date a rock. Because there's actually no way to date a rock unless you ask her. Oh, okay, some of you got that. But there's no actual accurate way to date a rock, you know, time-wise, you know. But let's talk about the most commonly talked about, you know, because Kent Hovind, I mean, he's a great guy, you know. He has a couple things wrong. He has a couple issues doctrinally, but, you know, he's a great person to listen to if you're into this. He has demolished carbon-14 dating. So the evolutionists and uniformitarianists, they sort of let go of that, and they've gone to uranium dating. So let's talk about uranium dating. All carbon-14, all radiometric dating is based upon one assumption. Let's look at radiometric dating like a, I'm not sure if you can see that, but I drew like an hourglass there.
Yep, it's visible.
So uniformitarianists look at radiometric dating like an hourglass. This is uranium. This is strontium, or material you have. And slowly over time, it starts degrading. And by the time all the sand up here gets to the sand down here, that's called a half-life. So by the time all the uranium gets down to here in strontium, then the uranium runs out. But the main flaw in this is that they assume that there's a lid up here. They assume that there's a lid up here, and they also assume that there's a lid down here. Guess what's going to happen? You can have all sorts of contaminants getting in there.
Right.
And you can have all sorts of stuff flushing out. So at that point, it's not really reliable. Just like if you were to use an hourglass with no lids on both ends, you wouldn't use it as a reliable, accurate way to determine an hour, right?
No, not at all.
You would not use that to time this interview, you know? if it didn't have lids.
Right.
So why would you use basically the same principle on radiometric dating? And all radiometric dating processes have that main flaw. All of them.
Well, that's really interesting. I appreciate you sharing that. And again, I've heard a lot about how unreliable it is. Obviously, when you have contaminants coming into play, then it's going to affect the results for sure. And I like that comparison you made with an hourglass. But you brought up Dr. Kent Hovind.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you recommend? I know you like Kent Hovind, but are there any other resources that you would recommend to people who want to get more educated? I asked Brother Matt Powell about this last week, but I want to get your perspective. Who do you learn from? Who do you like the best in terms of these people who cover creation versus evolution and things like that. Oh, look at
This is
that.
who I like the
Is
best.
that is that a it looks like you have a Bible there. Okay, for those of you listening on the podcast, Guzman with the smart answer, the Word of God. I like that.
Yeah, I actually got that from a debate. I'm not sure if you know who Jason Lyle is. He's a PhD astronomer, and he was in a debate with Hugh Ross, another PhD astronomer, but he's an old Earth creationist. Jason Lyle is the young Earth creationist. Hugh Ross is the old Earther, and they're debating. And the moderator says to Jason Lyle, he says, "Now, where would the layman go to if he wants to learn more about what we covered tonight?" And Lyle pulls up the Bible and he says,
Right there.
"This."
Hey, Genesis chapter 1 is a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, and then the moderator says, Okay, just don't use the Bible." But it was pretty funny. The moderator is Christian. His name's Frank Turek. But so yeah,
What do you think of
some
Frank Turek?
resources.
Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, Frank Turek. I really enjoyed his book. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It's a really good book. I'm not sure about his position on the age of the Earth. I haven't heard too much about that. I do know that he's opposed to evolution, and many old Earth creationists are opposed to evolution as well. There are a couple that are theistic evolutionists, but when you talk about like old Earth creationists, a lot of them are against evolution. And that includes Frank Turek.
Well, Guzman, let me say this about Frank Turek, and I might get some heat for
Sure.
this, but I think there's a pretty good chance that Frank Turek's got the right gospel and is actually a brother in Christ. From what I've heard him say with respect to what it takes to get to heaven, he seemed pretty accurate. So I'm necessarily not in agreement with a lot of the stuff that he would teach, but it seems like he's got salvation right, and so I gotta give him credit there. He's friends with people that are extremely wicked, like Rick Warren and things of that nature. I'm not endorsing him at all necessarily, but I do think he's a brother in Christ, and I do think he does make some pretty good arguments, when it comes to debunking atheism and things like that.
Yeah, I would agree. It would be the same for Answers in Genesis. Like, they have a lot of great resources over there. Back to the question, what would be a great resource? Answers in Genesis is a great resource. But then you have the whole doctrinal issues and everything, the Bible, they're not King James only. So when I, for a disclaimer for the audience, all the sources that I'm going to bring up, I don't agree necessarily 100% on with them. In fact, some of them could just be, I might get heat for this, but some of them might just be heretics, just
Well,
flat
I mean,
out.
Ken, I don't think Ken Ham is saved at all, but I think
Right,
Frank
yeah.
Turek is, frankly. I mean, that was kind of a pun, frankly,
Frankly.
frankly. But no, really,
No,
though,
no.
all kidding aside, I do think that from what I've heard, and again, maybe somebody will pull up a video or whatever to counteract what I'm saying here, but on salvation, he talks about how it's just by faith and you can't lose it, and you just got to call on the name of the Lord. So, yeah, he's got a bunch of issues, but seems like he's saved to me. Go ahead, sorry.
No problem. Sure. So, back to resources. There are a lot of great resources. You asked Matt this question, and I would agree with him a lot on a lot of the things that he brought up in the interview. Like Kent Hovind, obviously. He's a great for any person who is getting started. I would say go to Kent Hovind and Grady McMurtry. Those are the two
Yeah,
that I would
Grady
recommend
McMurtry
to
is an
the
extremely intelligent
beginners.
guy.
Amen. Yeah. So after that, if you want to get like, let's say there's somebody who's already into this and they want to get better arguments, go to a channel called Standing for Truth, a YouTube channel called Standing for Truth. I'll actually be on there tomorrow. I won't be on there for an interview, but I'll be moderating a big debate. Dr. Kevin Anderson versus Jackson Wheat. So that'll be fun tomorrow on his channel. Just a quick cheap plug there. I hope you don't mind, Ben.
Oh, I'm very mad at you. No, I'm just kidding. Great. Well, I look forward to that.
Yeah, so standing for also, if you're looking into, there's a ton of PhD young Earth creationist scientists, a ton of them.
Yeah.
There's people in biology, there's people in astronomy, there's people in geology, paleontology, a ton of people. Microscopy, there's a ton of them. So if you're more into geology or paleontology, a great guy to listen to is Kurt Weiss, Matthew McLean, and Marcus Ross. So those are all of them are PhDs. All three of them are PhDs. In fact, Kurt Weiss, he has a PhD from Harvard. So there you go.
All right.
As far as astronomy goes, like Jason Lyle, Danny Faulkner, genetics, you can go to John Sanford, Nathaniel Jensen, and a ton of a host of others. Biology, you can go to Todd Wood, and there's just a ton of them.
All right. Well, thanks for giving me some of your recommendations. I'll have to check out a few of those that you plugged here.
Slow down, Johnny, slow down.
Hey, it's good. I'm
Everybody
glad you
knows
gave
this
me some
stuff.
names, right? I mean, at least, you gave me an answer there, so I appreciate it. And now let's end with this. Talk about some upcoming projects you have in the works. I know you want to do a documentary against Catholicism, debunking Catholicism. That and whatever else you have going on, go ahead and plug away. Talk about some of your upcoming projects so that the audience listening to this right now can go and check them out.
Well, first of all, you said I want to create a documentary. I don't want to. I'm already doing it.
Yeah,
No,
you're
just kidding.
doing it. That's right.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. It's in the works right now. I'm hoping of maybe releasing it sometime in September, late September. Since this whole COVID thing, I haven't been able to get a lot, any interviews with priests, but. Since this thing has sort of been
Be
dying
careful,
down,
all right?
sort of, yeah, I know, yeah, sort of dying down. I think I might be interviewing a couple more priests at probably at most like three, two or three, something like that. That I'm also trying to secure an interview with Dr. Steve Lawson. Maybe somebody in the audience knows who that is, but he wrote a book on William Tyndale, and so I'll be interview I'm gonna try to get an interview with him, hopefully talking about martyrs and everything like that. Aside from the documentary, I want to create sort of like an index to all the creationist arguments
Really good
on the
idea.
channel, like.
Matt
Yeah,
could
so
help you out with
just
that.
like that'd be excellent. That'd be excellent if you could help out with that because I want this to be like a huge thing. Just like multiple episodes, each covering different topics. Like right now, I have a ton of projects in the works right now, so it's pretty hard. But right now, I'm trying to get as much information as I can on dinosaurs and feathers. That's gonna be pretty fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
And by the way, for everyone watching. Dinosaurs did have feathers. Okay, so, I'm going to try to create like an index of like dinosaurs with feathers. Does this prove evolution? Does this prove Genesis? Talk about all that. I'm going to try to talk about a bit of astronomy and everything like that. So, and also just try to cover like bad creationist arguments. Just don't use those, okay? Like, don't use these arguments, okay? So. That'll be all in the works soon, hopefully.
Great. Well, that all
Lord willing.
sounds like really interesting stuff. I like the idea of an index. I also like the idea of you helping people not to make bad arguments because we've seen that recently with the King James and this Ruckman view coming out of a church in Florida where they're basically,
Whom shall not be named.
they're making King Jamesonism look dumb. And so it's actually counterproductive when somebody tries to defend the right position, but using a horrible method. And I think it's important to make sure people don't make that mistake. Guzman, it was a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. And, just keep up the good work. That's all I can say. I'm a fan, and I hope that you keep churning out content, keep building. We're gonna watch I think we're gonna watch you do a lot of good stuff on YouTube and continue to gain more and more of an audience as you produce more documentaries, videos, interviews, and all that great stuff. So you just keep serving the Lord and ignore the haters.
Amen, yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate having this opportunity to come on. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Yeah, no problem at all, Guzman. I'm gonna let you go now. I'll have you on
All
again
right, sure.
sometime in the future. And anytime if you ever want to do something on your channel or you need an interview or something, just send me an email. I'd be glad to reciprocate. But I hope you enjoy the rest of your night, Guzman, and I'll see you next time you pop in at Steadfast, which is at random points. Periodically, you do show up because you kind of live in like two places at the same time. But next time you show up, come say hi.
All right. Thanks so much, Ben.
All right. Have a good night.
God bless.
Folks, that was Guzman, 1611. And one more time, I want to just do the big push for his channel. It is Guzman1611. I'll put it on the screen if you're watching on the Facebook page. There it is. Subscribe, check him out. Let's support the next generation. Let's support Guzman1611. All right, well, we got a question from the chat room, if you want to call it that, this Facebook Live deal. Kevin, he says, "Bro Ben, when is the documentary from Steadfast supposed to come out?" Here's my goal, October. That's my goal. And we will see if I can meet that goal. I would love to meet that goal, but that's what I'm going to try and do, October. Let me end with this, an announcement for next Monday. I hope you guys tune in. The live stream will be back on my YouTube channel next Monday at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. That is 6 p.m. Pacific for episode 45 of this broadcast. As of right now, as of right this second, and this might change because this individual has a very busy schedule. So we'll see. If it changes, you guys will figure it out when you tune in next week and this guest couldn't appear. But as of right now, he is booked. Pastor Steven Anderson will be on next Monday at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, over on facebook.com/BenTheBaptist. I'm sorry, youtube.com/BenTheBaptist. YouTube.com/BenTheBaptist. Don't forget to tune in to the YouTube channel next Monday at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Pastor Anderson from Faithful Word Baptist Church. I got a lot to talk to him about, including S. Anderson 1611 getting taken down and some upcoming projects that he has in store for us all coming out of Tempe, Arizona. So don't skip that one. I think you'll enjoy it next Monday night. But until then, folks, that's it for this live stream. It's always fun to do this with you all each and every week. Tune in Monday nights for new episodes. And also, BenTheBaptistKJV.com for the archive. Every episode that's ever been recorded is right there. I also have a blog that I regularly update as much as I can. Actually, I say regularly, but it's been very, very inconsistent. I'll try and be better. God bless you all. I appreciate the support. Unless the channel gets banned or something, I'll be back on the channel next week. And I'll talk to you guys again next Monday.